Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm John McEnroe.
I'm Bjorn Borg.
This is Martina Navratilova.
I'm Mats Wilander.
This is Mary Carrillo.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
I'm Andy Murray.
And you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
I quite like cab podcasts, Catherine. Hence, we're back in the cab on the way back from the US Open at Flushing Meadows after the day session. We're heading to Manhattan and the skies are orange and purple and blue. It is sunset time here and we have had storms galore. I got caught in one today. It was a bit different to the ones we get in Solihull, I've got to say. I got wetter than I would have jumped in a swimming pool. You've been dodging lightning storms and being evacuated. So it's all been happening here at the US Open today.
Yeah, Americans have a very strict view on health and safety in, television scenarios. No one was taking any risks with my life today.
No.
I was removed. I was laying down in the studio having a brief rest of my eyes in the studio lights when I was informed we were evacuating, and I tried to stage a sort of Julian Assange type protest and remain in place, but I was informed that nobody wanted to risk my life in a lightning based situation, so I simply had to leave.
I see. Brief resting of the eyes is what a nap is now known as, is it?
No, there's no napping when you've got an earpiece in and you're listening to Greg Rozetsky live narrate a tennis match.
I've seen you nap in all sorts of scenarios, so don't give me that.
I did get my hair and my makeup touched up while I was lying down. That was a new experience.
So that's the first 2 minutes and 10 seconds of the podcast taken care of, and we haven't really talked about any tennis yet, so let's do that, because there's been lots of it, and some of it has been dramatic, some of it has been quite a struggle to watch at times. We can start with the big story of the day, certainly in the day session, which is that the world number one Naomi Osaka, the defending champion, is out at the hands of Belinda Bencic. I watched that match in the company of Judy Murray on BBC Radio. I found the performance of Bencic really uplifting. Her tennis, it was a reminder. I mean, she's 12 in the world. I should watch her matches more often than I do, I feel. Having watched that and having seen her turn Osaka's power back on herself with her angles and the ability to take the ball early, you know, it's a reminder of just what a player she is.
She made the world number one, although she won't be world number one in a week because this result means that Ash Barty returns to world number one, but she made Osaka look one-dimensional. And that doesn't mean she full stop is one-dimensional, because she wasn't at full force today. She had the injury time out. The knee is obviously struggling, troubling her to some extent, but yeah, that's how it looked today. She not only had the variety and the sort of auxiliary way to win points, but she was also winning the forehand to forehand baseline exchanges with Naomi Osaka,
and she wins it in an unconventional way, because it's not about brute power, is it? Even though the ball flies off her racket, it's not all generated by her. It's not like Stan Wawrinka power, which comes from his his torso and his swing.
Thunderclap power, yeah, as Matt Roberts puts it.
Oh, that's well, well put, Matt.
We miss Matt.
We miss Matt, hence why he was on in the dead of the night last night while you were asleep. but he is good, isn't he, that lad? Anyway, but she's got her own power. It's reflective power. It's like somebody's put a force field around her and the lasers are fired at her and they just rebound. And they rebound at funny angles. It's a bit like pinball, isn't it? You know, the way those little circles, when the ball bounces off them, you don't quite know where they're going to go next, but they go like arrows into the corners. And she's
like Martina Hingis with just a bit more power than Martina Hingis had. But I mean, those comparisons are very obvious because, of course, she's worked with Hingis, and Hingis's mum was her coach for a long time. So it's obviously clear that her game would have influences there. But she's just so good. She's so good. She's got more wins over top 10 players than anyone else this season. I think she's had 9. And that'll cease to be much of a stat for much longer, I think, because she'll be a top 10 player herself.
But she's had 5 top 5 wins as well, which is more than anybody else as well. I mean, and when she wins titles, she beats everybody.
She does it the hard way.
I mean, obviously, you beat everybody if you win the title, but she beats all the top players, it seems. I mean, the Dubai and Toronto titles she's won have seen her just beat a who's who of the biggest names in the sport, pretty much. And she's been around for a while. I mean, it's 2014 when she reached the quarterfinals here for the first time as a 17-year-old. She's 22 now.
I'd forgotten that, you know.
Yeah. It's easy to forget. Yeah. And she beat good players along the way. She beat Angelique Kerber on the way to getting to that far. And the wrist injuries she's had are horrible, quite honestly.
And when you hear the words wrist injury, you think, oh, no.
Yeah. I also feel like a player as dexterous as her could have lost something with an injury like that. Even in recovery, she could have found that she just was never the same again, because certain players do, don't they? But today she went 2-love up against Osaka, and she had break points for 3-love with all those angles that she was using, and she was just half volleying winners left, right and centre. And Judy Murray was saying she's one of the best players in the world at changing the direction of the ball, at sort of, you know, if you're in a cross court rally, of suddenly changing it up and going the other way. And she can hit inside out backhands as well.
What can't she do?
Not really much. Catherine's got a little bit distracted by the most stunning sunset over Manhattan at the moment.
It's ridiculous. It's skyline porn.
Yes, we're on a bridge. This is amazing.
I think it's the Williamsburg Bridge. Is this the Williamsburg Bridge?
No, it's 59th Street Bridge. Or Queensborough Bridge.
The less glamorously named 59th Street Bridge.
It's a good one, though. I'm quite into it. Benches through. And, Osaka, I didn't really see it coming after the performance she put in the last round was so good. But then the head-to-head was 2-0 for Bencic, and this year she'd beaten her in Indian Wells and a close one, I think, in Madrid.
I thought she'd make more of a match of it.
Yeah.
I thought Bencic had a really good shout. That head-to-head was significant, I think. Well, obviously it was significant, but I thought it would go to 3. I thought they'd just... she was flat today, I suspect. That was partly due to the injury. My feeling was that injury was troubling her as much mentally as it was physically. She seemed to be moving all right to me. I don't know what your impressions were.
Honestly, I felt she was just outplayed today. Because she gave one of the best pre-match interviews I've heard any of the players give. They're usually excruciating in the tunnels. Understandably so, the players are so stressed out and nervous ahead of matches. But she gave insight into why she'd done what she'd done with Coco, and how pleased she was about that interview that they'd done together. She spoke about that, and then she spoke about the head-to-head against Bencic, and she said how much she'd kind of struggled in those matches, but she clearly seemed upbeat about the prospect of playing her again. I think she was taken aback by just how good Bencic was today.
She's so disarmingly honest, even in pre-match interviews.
Yeah.
I mean, who tells you that they're aware of their that they're losing head to head against a player that they're literally about to step on court with is something that is on their mind. I mean, most players would say, "Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't care about that. It's all going to be just fine. It's all going to come up Osaka today." She said, "Oh yeah, I'm a bit worried about that."
Yeah, she was straightforward, but it was a great win for Bencic, who now plays Donna Vekic. And we were able to cover that match as well, just because it finished shortly after it. And she was a set down to Yulia Gerges. It was a really emotional match to watch. I found it really moving to watch that match because of how much it clearly meant to both players. They've both been around for a while, both knocking on the door. Gerges has reached a Grand Slam semi-final before, but never, you know, this was still a big deal, a Grand Slam quarter-final opportunity. She was a setup. She was serving for the match. She got a 3-0 record against Vekic, and she didn't win. And for Vekic, she'd never reached a quarterfinal of a Grand Slam before. And when she finally got it back on her own terms and was serving for the match... Well, you'll never know what I was about to say next, will you? Because the batteries ran out of the recorder. That's how sophisticated our recording system is here at the Tennis Podcast. However, moments later, we've arrived at Destination Catherine's hotel lobby, and we are back in business. I've got a beer. Catherine's got a whiskey, making her one Whiskey Whittaker.
Yep.
Which I've just coined, and I'm really pleased with myself.
It's the only reason I drink whiskey now.
It is.
For the alliteration.
I mean, now we're not going to be able to get other drinks, which is the downside. But Donna Vekic is who we were talking about, and when she came out to serve for that match, I felt every single point with her. I really did. She was almost hyperventilating with each point. She went love 30 down. To go love 30 down, she hit a double fault. She was breathing in and out. You could imagine the sort of training she's gone through in order to probably prepare for moments like that.
Because but you can't.
You can't. But she is somebody who's lost a lot of matches from winning positions like that, just based on nerves, really. And because she's become an excellent player, Donna Vekic. If you think back to when she arrived as a 16-year-old, and there was all that talk and hype, and she was kind of... had an English accent, and because she trained in England, and so we were all kind of turning up at her press conferences out of curiosity and slightly trying to claim her as British,
slightly,
just a bit, and then she disappeared from the scene. Well, I mean, if you go back in the archives, she was an interviewee of the Tennis Podcast, I think, back in 2013. You know, that's 6 years ago. She was 17 years old.
And don't listen, folks. They were rubbish back then. I'm sure she was great, but.
Yeah, it's not that great.
That's not what David says. David says, listen to our archives. Don't listen to our archives.
Catherine Whittaker, selling the pod. But Vekic was... She went away for years. You know, she went into the wilderness, really, for years. And
but
she's come out the other side.
Isn't that the theme of this tournament? Transitions from brilliant, lauded... much talked about juniors to period of relative wilderness and then breaking through in their own good time. That's kind of...
Well, Bencic has done that, and obviously hers was a question of injury.
Bencic, Taylor Townsend.
Yes, God, you're right. Yeah, that match in the evening session tonight.
I'm sure there's another one that I'm forgetting.
Anyway.
Fits that mould.
But Vekic at love 30... calmed herself down and got through it. But the last 2 points of that match, both of them featured just worldly backhands down the line from Yulia Gerges to set up putaways that she would put away in her sleep. The first of them, she blazed wide with a forehand to go match point down. The second one, she hit a bounce smash long. And the look on her face. She challenged to Hawkeye. And honestly, there was something about this match, looking at the two players' faces. I think it's what it meant to them. You know, these are two players that haven't had an Osaka moment. So, you know, I didn't feel the same way for her. They don't have... Okay, I know Vekic is a young woman, but Gerges is a little older. Who knows whether this will happen for them to get to the semis or to the final of this tournament? Just the look in their faces. I could have cried for them, really. And I was just, well, sad for Gerges, but Vekic, it's great to see that. And also, I like the fact that she's had a coach come on board with her in Torben Belts, who's been at the very highest level with Angelique Kerber, and yet he's looked around and he's decided to kind of invest himself in Donna Vekic, and he's just helped build her career.
Yeah, in a very unglitzy,
yeah,
out of the spotlight kind of a way, which is really great. At the French Open, when Donna Vekic was in the fourth round, one of the two previous occasions she'd been in the fourth round and not been able to push through to the quarterfinals, which made today all the more special, I think. When ahead of her fourth round match, I can't remember who it was against, it was definitely on the Suzanne Longlin court, the WTA made Torben Belts available for interview, and I remember I was with the cameraman, and we were waiting for Torben Belts cameraman Aaron, who, don't know why I'm name checking him, because he definitely doesn't listen to this podcast.
Hello, Alan. Aaron.
He said, "Oh, is he a tall guy?" I said, "No, about normal height. About normal height, mate. Set your shot up for a normal height kind of a man." Because I'd only ever seen him sort of sitting down or crouching.
So have I. I'm waiting with bated breath.
Oh, he is extraordinarily tall, and it was a very quick, well, perhaps not so quick readjustment. Well, Torben Belts stood there anxiously, like, "Can we get going now, please?"
You didn't.
And I couldn't explain what had happened, that I'd underestimated his height by about 10 inches.
I mean, you know, you'd have thought, presenting a podcast with me, you'd be well primed for this stuff. But no.
Maybe my standards of what counts as tall have been completely...
How tall is this bloke?
I mean, he was really, really tall.
Like 7'2" or something?
No, I mean, probably about your height.
Right. Okay, well, I'm going to go and meet him. You know, set up a tall
Let's
club.
Let's find out, is David taller than Torben Belts?
Set up a tennis
what
tall
a feature.
Club. Fantastic. Oh, well, I seem to get put on matches that involve yeah, tall people just
single
because of...
Single-use gags.
Single-use gags. Who can beat them? So that means that Donna Vekic is going to be playing against Belinda Bencic in the quarterfinals. Fascinating match. They're very good friends, according to both players.
And I haven't had a chance to look up when it was, but Daniela was mentioning just... what, half an hour ago as we came off air in the Prime studio, that the last time they met, I think Vekic beat Bencic pretty handily.
Really?
Interestingly.
Yeah, that was quite recently on the clay, I believe. I think it might have been at the French Open, actually. So, yeah, we've got Vekic against Bencic. We've got the winner of Andreescu and Townsend, which we'll be bringing you a word on at the end of this show, a little later tonight as we come to you. They've just started Nadal Cilic at the moment.
On that subject, Diego Schwartzman being put the question on his on-court interview by Brad Gilbert with Alexander's, he'd just beaten Alexander Zverev in four sets, of which more to come. And Brad Gilbert says, "Diego, you're playing the winner of Nadal and Cilic," and he goes, "So I play Nadal." I think he said Rafa, actually. "So I play Rafa."
Oh, bless.
Hang on, I thought you knew about that because you tweeted about it.
No, Matt tweeted about it.
Oh, right.
I just the way you deliver it, Catherine. Come on, I'm giving you props here. Well, the first thing you said was... he thought he played Berrettini, which really made me chuckle as well.
That is disappointing for him, isn't it?
His face fell.
That is amazing.
And that's nothing against Berrettini.
He's just not Nadal.
More of which later. So, the other player that's won through today is Elise Mertens, who's beaten Christiane. Great run for her, but Mertens, my goodness, merciless Mertens today.
She's dropped fewer games than anybody else en route to the quarterfinals, only 16.
And had probably fewer words spoken about.
Yes.
Just the way things go, isn't it, really?
She's so solid. There's nothing flashy about her game. There's just no weaknesses in it at all. Of course, she... Australian Open semi-finalist last year, at the start of last year, that was completely out of the blue at the time, and she did a really good job of backing that up. I thought she might not quite sink without trace, but certainly
it is
not
difficult
back it up
to do
in the way she did.
Yeah.
She had a really good clay court season, but this is her first quarter final since then.
Yeah, and she could go further, you know. We'll have to wait and see. She'll play the winner of Andreescu and Townsend, and that's, you know, we now face a situation where one of those players is going to be in a Grand Slam final. It's which is pretty cool, I
great.
Think. You know, it's
really,
it's,
really great.
It is nice.
Just a quick Serena update. I saw that people were aghast that we didn't mention Serena yesterday. Not necessarily because of the match, but more because of
the turned ankle,
which did look quite dramatic at the time. I saw on the practice court first thing this morning, which I thought was a good sign, because had there been a significant issue, she probably would have given it more time.
She was really going for it, wasn't she? It's quite funny looking over the shoulder of Daniela Hantikova in your studio, and you could see Serena absolutely crashing the ball around.
She was. She had strapping on the ankle. She had extra strapping. I know she always wears the ankle braces, but she looked all right. She looked all right.
Good. So these are the men's matches that we saw. Let's start with Zverev against Schwartzman. I think that's kind of sums it up, Catherine, from a Zverev perspective. This is a guy who had won 2 5-set matches and a 4-set match coming in, and this was another 4-set match. He won the first set, even though he felt like he was on the defensive quite a lot in many of the rallies. And I find, from a strictly Zverev perspective, I find his performance is pretty
depressing.
Yeah, I mean he is
like slowing down to look at a car crash is how it was described in one of our WhatsApp groups today.
I mean, you know, that sounds dramatic, but it feels
like looking in on something, almost intruding on someone's sort of pain that's the comparison there. It's
He shouldn't be making us feel like this at the age he is. It's because he's been around for quite a while now, a few years, and everybody's told us, and we've probably told everybody, that this guy is going to be world number one one day or a Grand Slam champion. He hasn't got beyond a quarter final of the Grand Slam. He's gone out early in a number of them. He looks at the moment pretty ordinary. That's the scary thing. From his perspective, he's gone from being at the end of the O2 last year looking special to looking ordinary, and to looking like he's got some real glitches in his game, total lack of confidence. I take on board all the points that people make about the off-court struggles he's had with his agent and the stresses that that's given him, and it looks like he's at least got a new agent with Roger Federer's company, Tony Godsick's teammate, that they will probably lay good foundations for him in that regard. But on the court, he's a 6'6" grinder, and that is not what we were sold, really.
He's a decent grinder, isn't he? But he's obviously not going to be a Grand Slam winning or even Grand Slam semi-finalist grinder.
You can't win with that build playing like that.
No. And it's so obvious. We are not we're not former players. We're not. It's just so blinding.
All of these rounds felt like just Groundhog Day. Watching him against Radu Albot, watching him against I can't remember, it was in the second round, 5 sets in the second round, and in the third round he played Aliash Bedene, and in the fourth round here he is against Diego Schwartzman, who, look, I'm really
TFO second round.
I'm really reluctant to go just. I know we're just talking about Zverev here, and Schwartzman is such an explosive player, and for his size, what he does is frankly ridiculous. Pound for pound, he's an incredible tennis player.
And played such a clever match today against a guy that was standing 2 metres behind the baseline most of the time. Diego Schwartzman at the net? What a beautiful revelation.
But they're not, you know, he is punching above his weight. Zverev is punching way below his weight. In not literal terms, in terms of the way, you know, you look at his frame and what he should be able to achieve and do on a tennis court, and he's just doing a fraction of it.
I was feeling more sympathetic towards him half an hour ago before I saw a clip from his press conference where he's slagged off Daniil Medvedev and
who's now
everything that's brilliant about Daniil Medvedev.
What, give us a little highlights reel?
Well, he said he doesn't think that Daniil Medvedev being great is great when it quite clearly is great.
When you say great, you mean he should keep his mouth shut rather than telling the crowd to bring it on.
He says Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal have, I think maybe only mentioned Federer, but you know, set the standards for what's good in sport, and
he said
we
he went
as
over
the next
line.
Gen. He talked on behalf of the next generation, I found a little bit hard to take.
He said he went over the line.
Went over the line. But he was being specifically asked about those celebrations towards the crowd. He wasn't being asked about any of the indiscretions that led towards him being booed. And Alexander Zverev got a point penalty today for two code violations, so people in glass houses.
The other thing is, he also started to talk about things that Medvedev does, and I guess he means in matches they've played, that really wind him up.
Changing
his
shoes
and stuff like that.
Imagine how he feels about Tsitsipas.
But you know, our reactions to that press conference were different. I mean, and I think you would take my point here. Let's see if you do. I know that he was criticising Medvedev, who we all think is hilarious. Suddenly, right? And I agree, I do too. I thought it was great. I think it's great that Zverev comes out and has the he's prepared to come out and give this guy a hard time. He's doing the same thing.
Yeah, fine. But did you agree with anything he said?
No.
Do you think it made him look good that he said that?
I don't think I necessarily agree with everything that Medvedev said.
How do you think it made him look to be speaking on behalf of the next gen?
Yeah,
like
I mean,
okay,
that's perhaps clumsy language. I mean, look, I don't like the fact that Zverev comes in and the first thing he said was, well, I talked about this 2 days ago in my press conference.
Yeah.
You know, okay,
that
mate,
is,
yeah.
And that is so specifically not what Roger Federer does.
Yeah.
To be speaking about, you know, we should all be following the example of Roger Federer when that's precisely
he
what makes him...
20 years giving great answers to often rubbish questions.
And questions that he's heard in every press conference for 20 years.
Yes, he has. So, look, I don't agree with lots of things that Alexander Zverev says, but I love the fact that he's just prepared to go out and say it. And for the same reasons that Medvedev's prepared to just go out and say this stuff to the crowd.
We've said this about so many people before, haven't we? It's great for us. I just don't think it necessarily looks great for him. Like, you know, we ran a getting to know you piece with Zverev ahead of the match, and he was asked, how do you like to relax in your free time? And he said, being on my yacht in Monte Carlo. Not relatable content, Alex. I mean, great, amusing for us that he's been that honest, but in terms of public perception, I don't think that's a win.
I think the bigger point really is that Medvedev could get away with what he did because he was winning, you know, and actually Zverev actually said that, you know, as long as he keeps winning, it's fine, isn't it? You know, he can do what he likes. At the end of his answer, that's what he said. And I do think that's the point. Zverev's kind of hitting out when he's just got beaten. So it's probably not your best moment to be doing that. But it does not make me look forward to Medvedev against Zverev next time.
Agreed. Yes, please. Although Medvedev would kill him.
Well,
In current form.
In current form. But they're not that dissimilar in terms of their playing styles.
Well, exactly. So when it comes to similar playing styles, it just tends to come down to who's better.
Yeah.
And Medvedev is so much better.
Quite soon, I suppose, couldn't it? If Zverev sorts himself out. We'll find out, won't we, in the time to come. I don't know what their head-to-head is. But the other match that we saw today featured... what's his name against?
Matteo Berrettini.
I keep thinking Marco Marriott Matteo. Matteo Berrettini. Sorry, Matteo.
Can I tell you something about his name?
Yeah.
Berrettini means little hat in Italian.
Right.
How
there
great
we go.
Is that?
Your hat correspondent.
Matty Little Hat.
That's very good. He beat Andre Rublev today.
Yeah. Seeded player against unseeded player. And it was, I think, a big shock that the seeded player won.
Yeah, I didn't, because I picked it at the start of the day.
Did you?
I mean, yeah, I did. Have a look at the news. Have a look at the newsletter predictions, folks, which you can sign up to. If you just scan down on your show notes on your phone right now, you can just click on newsletter link and sign up to get a free newsletter every day, which includes our daily predictions.
What happened here?
I'll tell you exactly what happened. Since you've invited it, I'll tell you exactly. So we wake up in the morning, and what happens is we wake up and Matt has prepared everything for the newsletter. All we need to do is fill in our predictions. Matt has already put his prediction in, which was Rublev beating Berrettini, to which Catherine said, you can't have that, Matt, because that's not an upset, and we kind of like a loosely based upset, to which Matt said, hold on, Berrettini's the 24th seed, Rublev's unseeded, yes, it is upset, an upset, and therefore I can have it. Catherine wasn't having this, and she said, find me one person that thinks that Berrettini is going to beat Rublev, to which I said, okay, I'll have Berrettini because I think he can win.
No, you didn't. You said, I'll have Berrettini just so Matt can have Rublev. You didn't say, because I think he's going to win.
Because that's the kind of guy I am.
Yeah. It was.
I was sticking up for Matt.
That is the universe rewarding you.
Yes. Although we should also add that about 20 seconds earlier, I'd picked Bencic to beat Osaka, which would have made it my fourth.
That is a real Greg Rosetsky move you've done there.
I love it. My fourth consecutive day of correct prediction. So actually, I've kind of got five in a row right.
Uh-huh.
You started it. So that's how we got there. I can't remember what the point was. Whether it was an upset or not?
It was an upset.
Okay. Yeah, so it was an
upset. Can you agree with me that was an upset?
If somebody had asked me without my chivalry being a question in this point, on behalf of Matt, I would have said Rublev would have beaten him. Yeah.
Straight sets as well.
But, you know, I don't feel like I've watched enough of Berrettini. I've watched matches of him. I think that what I saw today was really something. It was the sort of match that made me think, I want to seek out Matteo Berrettini matches.
Daniela called him a Fabio Fognini with his head screwed on.
I mean, that's cool, isn't it? He's a big strapping bloke.
She lives in Italy, so she's allowed to say these sorts of things. She said, you know, the problem with Italians is that they don't work hard enough and they don't want it enough.
Crikey. Sorry, all of our Italian listeners.
Italian tennis players. Okay. Not all Italians. and she said he does.
Yeah.
He really does. He's got all the flair and the gifts that a lot of Italian tennis players do have, but he's got his head screwed on as well. And look, the stats back up that thing about Italy, because they've had a lot of talented tennis players over the years, and Berrettini is the first one to reach the US Open quarterfinal since Barrazzutti in 1977.
Blimey, that's a cracking stat.
Who's the Italian Davis Cup captain.
Yeah, they've got a lot of players at the moment, haven't they? Italy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Full of them.
Good news for them with Turin on the horizon.
Yeah.
Not sure if they've got any young female players coming through, but certainly on the men's side there.
Yeah, it's great to see. Great to see. Anything else we need to talk about?
He awaits the winner of Monfils and Dihar, and when we left it, Monfils was just rollicking away with that.
I think he needed one more game. I think he's already won. Yeah. Let me just.
Gem's life double is on.
It's interesting, isn't it? The way. I mean, that's a ruthless win. I haven't had a chance to see any of that because we were on other courts at the time. But Monfils, you know, these stories, isn't it great to see players that are a bit older that are just coming along, you know, and maybe grasping their moment? Dimitrov in the quarterfinals. I know he's playing Federer tomorrow. It's unlikely he'll win that. But still, nice to see.
And Monfils, assuming he's won that, I'm guessing he's won that. Arthur Ashe is his hero, isn't he?
Yeah, 6-1, 6-2.
Obviously, he's played on Arthur Ashe Stadium before, but he hasn't so far this tournament.
No.
So he'll obviously play his quarterfinal against Berrettini on the Arthur Ashe Stadium.
6-1, 6-2, 6-2, Monfils won. And Nadal, as we come to you, 6-3 first set. So that's what's happened today, pretty much. And we've loved it. It's been another great day.
I received a marriage proposal from a gay man. They all count.
Okay, it's all happened today, folks, I'm telling you. And another thing that has happened today is we received a letter about an hour ago, which really, it's pretty moving. I won't read all of it to you because it's pretty It's pretty harrowing. From a gentleman called Alan Harris, who's one of our listeners. And I will just read you the opening to it, which is, "Dear David and Catherine, the reason I'm writing you is to give you a long overdue thank you. In the last week, I've fallen on some hard times," and he goes into telling us how he suffered a car crash after a shift at work, a long shift at work, and he's in hospital at the moment. He's pretty badly injured, and he lives in the southwest of the United States, loves tennis, follows every moment of the US Open if he possibly can, and is doing so at the moment. His sister has brought him an iPad so that he can stay in touch with everything, as well as watch as many matches as he can. And he says he's listened to every single show that we've ever done until he unfortunately suffered this car crash last Thursday. And anyway, we want to just send him our best wishes and hope that he gets well very soon. I hope you all join us in sending Alan Harris your very best wishes and positive vibes. You know, get well soon, Alan. We're going to keep doing this. You keep liking it. We're going to keep producing them, and hopefully that will provide some sort of respite and put a smile on your face as well.
Yeah, when we started doing this, the aim was all of the best podcasts that I'd ever listened to were ones where it felt like you're in the room with friends. So if we're achieving that feel for some of our listeners, especially ones that are suffering hard times, then that's an incredibly moving and humbling thought. Yeah. So we're with you, Alan.
Yeah, get well soon. Get well soon. And to the rest of you, thanks for listening throughout the course of the fortnight so far. We're a week down. We're into week two. I mean, I think we have a fantastic second week ahead. The order of play, I'll just give you that before. I mean, I'm going to come back on at the end of this and just bring you up to date with the night session. But Catherine's no doubt memorised the order of play for tomorrow.
Federer Dimitrov is under the lights.
Yes, it is. So we start with Elina Svitolina against Johanna Konta at 5 p.m. UK time. That's 12 local here in New York. Then it's Stan Wawrinka against Daniil Medvedev. Evening session of Serena Williams against Wang Chang. Am I saying it the right way around? I think.
Wang Chung?
Yeah. Okay, sorry.
Everybody. I unconfidently
trying
saying
my
that.
Best. And then Roger Federer against Grigor Dimitrov to bring up the end to proceedings on the Arthur Ashe Stadium court.
I thought you were going to say to bring up the end of Grigor's run at the US Open.
This could be the one. You know, he's looking good to me. I mean, you know, it all started with Grigor, didn't it, for us? His career started when the tennis podcast started.
He's the one. He's been with us right the way through.
Yeah.
So when slightly ridiculous thing to say, when Grigor wins a slam, we'll just have to mic drop and walk away.
Yeah, that's when the end of the tennis podcast happens, folks. Oh dear, don't talk about it. But anyway, he's a good lad, is Grigor, a really nice chap. What? Was that Nick Kyrgios?
It was. But he pulled out the doubles yesterday.
Doesn't he just walk past every time we're on? Like, because we're on.
Why is he still here?
I don't know. Look, he's got to go somewhere, isn't he? So why not stay
here?
Well,
he said the other night how much he wanted to go home.
I wouldn't mind hanging around New York for a couple of days.
He was looking forward. He said, "I've been on the road for 5.5 months. I want to go home." Then he pulls out the doubles, and now here he is on the lift to the TBC floor. He's not in the penthouse lift, though.
No.
Separate lift to the penthouse, not in that one.
He's got the turnaround cap at the moment. Anyway, that's him. This is us, and I'll be back a bit later with the evening session news.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Well, the night session has come and gone. Rafael Nadal is into the quarterfinals of the US Open, beating Marin Cilic in four sets. Bit tense early on, but after he dropped the second set, but he got the job done in the end. Raced through sets three and four, only losing a single game. And really, I think the shot that everybody's going to remember from this match, that in fact, the moment that everybody's going to remember from this match was the penultimate point of it, when he chased down a Marin Cilic backhand drop angled volley, which was almost level with the net, and it went outside the court, and suddenly Nadal appeared from nowhere and hit the left-handed forehand banana-like around the net post and into the corner. It was just one of the great tennis moments you could possibly imagine, and certainly one of the best we've seen at this tournament. It was up there with the slam dunk pirouette smash from Gael Monfils in its own way, and it just sent the Arthur Ashe Stadium court completely wild. And that's really energized Nadal. He will now face Diego Schwartzman in the last eight, and just as Diego predicted when he was put to him. Cilic played all right. Played okay, certainly for two sets. To win a set off Nadal takes some doing here, and Cilic hasn't been in the best of form of late. But Federer Nadal gets ever closer, folks. It's going to happen. I'm whispering this because, you know, I'm hoping that will mean it won't jinx it. We'll find out. We've all since then had Bianca Andreescu beating Taylor Townsend. I think, you know, predictably result-wise, I certainly would have expected that to happen. Pretty stressful, though. The crowd were really going for Taylor Townsend. Andreescu won the first set really easily, and then Townsend came back at her, won the second, and Andreescu was a fairly comfortable winner in the third set, but she wasn't completely at ease, I didn't think, out there today. Different sort of challenge for her, isn't it? Never played the US Open. I mean, hard to believe that I've picked somebody to win the US Open who's never even played it before. But anyway, she's into the quarterfinals. She faces Elise Mertens and will be the favourite for that one as well, even if Mertens is playing well, as we talked about earlier. So that'll do it for today. We are brought to you in association with The Telegraph, executive produced by tennisballs.com with our mascot Rio with a Y. Catherine and I will be back tomorrow. Play will begin, I don't know, about 11 o'clock local time, 12 o'clock, can't remember. Tomorrow, though, that much we do know. Thanks for listening. Do tell your friends if you've enjoyed the show. Do leave us a review on iTunes. It all helps to spread the word and all that stuff. And we'll be back with you tomorrow.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.